Hey folks, welcome back to the Uncivilized Podcast. This is Trevor Boehm, your host. For those of you who are new to the Uncivilized Podcast, we did a survey about 2 years ago asking, what do you think when you hear the words Uncivilized Podcast? And someone actually wrote in and said, I think you're trying to create Unabombers. So I just want to stop here and note that we're not actually trying to do that at all. So thanks for joining. Again, my name is Trevor. I'm the founder of the Uncivilized Movement, which is a movement of people all over the world. At this point, both men and women, thousands and thousands of people who are committed to this goal, to ending the unnecessary suffering in men so that we can end the suffering caused by men. And we're doing that by creating a movement of a million men who express their masculinity through both the primal and the divine, who follow our ethos, who live by our pillars, and who connect with other men also on the path. So that's a mouthful, but that's what the Uncivilized Movement is. I'm also the author of two separate books. One is called Today I Rise, which is a journey through heartbreak and divorce and how you can use either of those situations to radically change your life. I wrote that about 7 years ago, and I'm shocked at the response I still get from it today. So if you're going through heartbreak, if you're going through a challenge, or if you know someone who is, please send them that book. The second book, the one that started this whole thing, is called Man Uncivilized, and it is the outline and guide for the third paradigm of masculinity, right? I think we have the sensitive New Age guy. Many people know that. We had the 1950s Marlboro man. Many guys know that. And neither of them really worked. So I said, let's create a new one. Let's go with option three. And that is the uncivilized man, a man who's raw, who's real, who's relational, a man who lives by the ethos, a man who lives by the five pillars, etc. I'm also a guy who loves to see uncivilized t-shirts, mugs, swags, hats all over the world. So please check out our shop at shop.manuncivilized.com. Now today I want to talk about something specifically for nice guys, but it's applicable to all of us. So I work with a community of, quote, nice guys, capital N, capital G. And these are guys who, for lack of a better term, are more on the side of belonging and attachment than they are on the side of authenticity. These are guys we could classically say, I mean, the words many people used are, these are codependent guys, right? Or enmeshed guys in relationship. This is the guy who will tell you anything you want to hear on a date. He'll tell his coworkers anything they want to hear. He'll literally shapeshift in front of you and say whatever needs to be said to be accepted, to be loved, to try to get sex, to feel safe in the world, because this guy doesn't have a strong core of who he is. Now, a lot of times in the public, this guy gets shit on, right? He's like, oh, what a weak guy. You know, like, oh, he's squirmy. He's a wolf. I've even said he's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. After I've worked with these guys now for so many years, what I want to say to you before I dive into the episode is that the root of that man is so much pain. So also, if this is you, if you're like, man, I'm a nice guy, I feel you. I am a recovering nice guy, and it is a continual process. And there are layers to it and layers to it and layers to it. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. And whether you're a woman listening to this, whether you're a man listening to this, whether this is if you call yourself a nice guy or not, there's still really applicable aspects to this with how I'm framing it. So when I first taught this, I have a course called Kill the Nice Guy. If you want to go to get your hands on it, go to manuncivilized.com/kill the nice guy. And 4 or 5 years ago when I first taught it, I would say at the root of nice guy issues is this concept of attachment versus authenticity. And I didn't really know a lot about attachment theory. I hadn't met Dewey yet. I hadn't worked with therapists. I had an inkling of understanding of, hey, as a child, we attach to our caregivers. We have to, because at like 6 weeks old, I couldn't get a job and feed myself and put a roof over my head and acquire my needs. I couldn't do that. So I essentially was like, oh, you two. What do you need me to do so that you don't throw me out the window or stop feeding me or beat the shit out of me or make me live in the woods? That's attachment. Versus, hi, this is who I am. This is authentically me. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be weird in these ways. I like jujitsu. I like surfing. Oh, you guys still, I don't really care if you want to hang out with me or not, because now I'm an adult and I can take care of myself. What happens so often to nice guys is early on, we realize being authentic or being who we are in the world is not okay. It's not safe. It will not get us fed. It will not get us clothed. It will not get us housed. But that's the impression, right? I want to say this, like as a baby, you don't have a lot of like analytical thought. At least I didn't. Maybe you all were like elite babies, but I wasn't. And so as a baby, we have this like, we're just somatic. We just feel. We're like, oh, that made someone cry. Won't do that again. Or that made someone walk away from us. Won't do that again. Or oops, dinner was an hour late. I don't have like an analytical brain, but I remember like doing something a half an hour ago. So maybe I just won't do that anymore. And that was my understanding of attachment versus authenticity. But I still, now when I share that and talk to guys about that or talk to people about that, it's still often confusing because understanding attachment theory has taken me a couple of years and my mentor and teacher in it is the best in the world in Dewey Freeman. So a lot of guys don't have access to Dewey, haven't listened to Dewey talk for hours and hours and hours. And so I'm reframing this and I think this may help you. Now I'm going to say it's belonging versus authenticity. Think about that. Forget attachment for a minute. Just like our core desire as humans is to belong to the family, to belong to the city, to belong to the sports team, to belong to the group of friends, to the spouse, to the company, to the tribe, to the team. Like you get it? Like we want to belong. If you don't believe me, go watch a sporting event on Sundays. If you don't believe me, ask how many people call themselves Swifties. And I got nothing against Taylor Swift. I think she's a genius. She also like sings in my bathroom whenever Katie showers, but that's a whole another conversation. We will betray ourselves, folks, to the deepest part of our core, who we are. We will betray ourselves in the name of belonging. If you don't believe me, think of all the crazy shit. I have nothing against the church, but think of all the crazy shit people do in the name of religion. Think of the things that the military can get people to do. Think of the things that folks will do that literally go against their own humanity in the name of fitting in the name of belonging. So I hope this helps you just get a frame of like, oh, that's why I may do the things that I do. Because at a very early age, when it was super duper important, I had to belong. And that drive, that like biological drive is almost stronger than anything else. Because we used to be super tribal, right? Like now I can order stuff on Amazon. I have a house. I have a roof over my head. I have a car. I don't think of myself as truly needing those 50 people who are hunting for me and taking care of me if I get sick, right? We're more independent than we are now. But it's in our DNA as humans to want to belong. It makes sense? I hope that makes sense, especially for nice guys, right? Like we have the wound that says, if you don't belong, we've heard that. We feel that. A lot of guys still feel that. They're not little babies anymore. They're not toddlers. They are actually fully productive members of society, but they still don't feel like they belong. And they don't feel like they belong because of who they are. And maybe women, you're hearing this and feeling the same way. And I have so much empathy and compassion for you first and foremost, because I've been in situations where I looked around and go, I don't belong here. And they let me know I don't belong here. And that is a terrifying, terrible, awful feeling. It takes immense amount of work to be okay in your core as a human. And I think a lot of support, maybe some money and some gifts, of like your gifts in the world, to feel that from a community, especially your community, and be like, it's cool. I got this. I'll just be solo for a little while. Not a lot of people have that. And when it does happen, you ask people who have left the church, you ask people who have left the company, ask people who have left the military, ask people who have left the police department, ask the people who have left a friend group, ask people who have quit drinking. What is it like to feel even the slightest bit of ostracized? And they'll say it's hell. It feels like you're going to die. It feels like you're in survival mode. Okay, you guys get this. So now what do we do about it? Right? That's the million-dollar question. It's like, awesome. Thanks for the information, bro. What do I do? Number one, practice being authentic in small doses. Because I'm not going to tell you that you don't live in an ecosystem. I'm not going to be like, go back to your boss, go back to your wife, go back to your friends and be like, suddenly this is me. This is like, I have a face tattoo and pink hair and I'm calling myself Geronimo from now on. And like, these are my new, this is who I've always been. There will be repercussions. And I want you to live an amazing life. So hang with me here. Practice it though. Do you agree with what people are saying? Are you comfortable being like, nah, you know, I don't think the New York Giants are the best team in the world, Traver. They're not, right? Can you practice with little stuff like that? Are you okay just disagreeing with someone? If it's authentic, if you're like, actually, I don't agree with that, right? Relationship, as Dewey says, is like we allow these difficult things to come up. We allow conflict to come up. We navigate it, and then we come back together stronger. And also think, guys, would you have more respect for someone who disagreed with you if they did it in like a kind, compassionate, conscious way than if you found out 2 years later that they didn't and they were just hoping to stay your friend? I personally would be pretty damn upset if I found out the people around me like were just agreeing with me to get something from me. So practice, point one, practice with little stuff. Practice being a little bit disagreeable if it's authentic. Number two, practice being a little bit inconvenient, right? I was sitting on a plane. I was flying from, from LA to Denver last week. And I got bumped into first class. It was awesome. And the woman came around and like dropped a bunch of like snacks off to people and then left. And I was like, man, I really want a different snack. And all my nice guy stuff flared up. It was like, who are you to ask for a different snack, even though you're in first class? Like they're going to kick you out of the plane. They're going to throw you out of the back of the plane. And so I like did my, you know, like, okay, well, you wrote a book called Man Uncivilized. You have a podcast. You can do this. I took a breath and came back and was like, can I get you anything else? And I was like, yeah. Do you guys have a bag of popcorn? Like, think of this, like, just I want to frame this for you all. I fought humans, grown men, in a cage in my life. I have been paid to protect billionaires while armed. And it was, I needed to take a breath before asking a first-class flight attendant for a bag of popcorn because that's personal and my nice guy stuff flared up. And I did. And I'm going to tell you what happened. She got me a bag of popcorn. I know that was a very anticlimactic story, but that was me practicing being inconvenient, me practicing being authentic more than some fantasized idea that when I left the plane, the flight attendant was going to be like, man, that guy in 2A, he was amazing. I really like him. You know why? He didn't ask me for anything. I risked that fantasy being popped in order to get my popcorn. And I got it, and it was delicious, and it was awesome. Number three, and this is a biggie. Michael talked about this. If you want to go back to my Instagram page at Traver Boehm and look at the live I did with Michael Gay talking about authenticity versus belonging, you got to find your people. You got to find your people, right? I shared with him the story of when I owned a CrossFit gym, our philosophy was we really don't give a fuck what you wear, what you want to call yourself, like how you show up here. If you're gay, if you're straight, we don't care about anything, but how hard do you work and are you willing to support your teammates? So people showed up in these wild, crazy outfits. People use nicknames as their like gym name that they'd wanted to use since they were like little kids. We let people fully be who they are. And we did that for a couple reasons. One, because when I joined a gym, they had the same philosophy. And I remember thinking like, wow, it's really cool to be around people who are fully expressed and allow me to be the same way. So find your people. I did this also a couple more times, and one of these is you'll get it. Like I did it also finding joining a men's group. like a very conscious men's group. And I was like, hey, this is who I am. These are my foibles. These are my mistakes. This is what I'm good at. This is my personality. I'm going to hide nothing from you. Very conscious group, right? And it was very healing for me and helpful for me to be around them. And third, when I entered the kink community, because this was a biggie, right? Sexuality is a big deal to a lot of people. So getting around people who are like, oh, you're right. The sort of standard the standard vanilla way of thinking about sexuality didn't work for us too. Hi, come hang out with us. In all three of these instances, folks, my body and being relaxed in a way that it never had before. I want to say that again. In all three of these instances, right, from being in a gym where I got to express myself physically and be who, dress however I wanted. Like I had a buddy who just actually, tangent story, went to a gym that I used to go to here in Colorado. Just dropped in a CrossFit gym and was like, hey, I'm here for a men's thing. I'm here to meet Trevor Boehm. And they're like, oh yeah, he used to work out here. He never wore shoes. Like that was my thing. I just don't like shoes. It's a whole nother, maybe I'll do a podcast, like why I hate shoes. But that was me being authentic. And I knew these guys weren't going to care. I could be who I was, right? Number two, with the men's group of like, hey guys, as a man, as a leader, as a public person, I often have to think about what I say and the impact it has and who I am and how I present myself, because there's a company behind me. I have employees, I have staff, I have people who rely on me being a certain way in the world. And they're like, cool, be whoever you want. And then the biggie, obviously, of sexually, this is how I express myself sexually, which is a trigger for so many people, right? Imagine if the world knew about your kinks. I do, because I know, because I talk about it openly. Think of those three aspects of your life being okay for you to be you, especially you nice guys, us nice guys. I'm like literally waking up and going, I don't have to put on a facade. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to not be me. Now, here's the only caveat. I've seen a lot of people use this authenticity thing as like license to be a fucking dick. Sorry, I'm trying to swear less on the podcast. People use this authenticity thing to be less than kind. Be like, sorry, I'm just being authentically me. I'm following my truth. No, you're being a fucking dick. Don't do that. You don't get to abuse people. You don't get to be irresponsible. You don't get to be abusive. You don't get to hurt people. You don't get to like not there. You still have responsibility to your people and to the people who interact with you. So I hope this helps. Belonging versus authenticity. Start to ask yourself, what have I done in the past to fit in? Now, this is not a like, let's shame ourselves list, because I want to circle back one last time to how deep this runs. Your being, your brain, your patterning, your conditioning on some level is telling you, do this or die. Now, who am I to come on the podcast and be like, do it anyway, right? I wouldn't do that. That's why we microdose it. That's why we play with it in small increments. And then also really challenge that idea. If you show up to a Dallas Cowboys party wearing a New York Giants t-shirt, I mean, you may die because they're, you know, heathens. But like, are you going to die if you disagree with somebody? Are you going to die if you're on a first date and go, you know what I'm really into? Surfing, jujitsu, and spanking. Oh, you too. Amazing. Cool. Let's go live a great life, get married, and have kids. But like, are you going to die if someone sitting across from you or in your circle goes, yeah, I'm not into that? I don't think you will. I know you won't, actually. If you're interested in looking further at the course, again, manuncivilized.com/killthenicegy. If you haven't read my book or either of them, go to Amazon, please, right now. Or if you want to buy a copy and give it to somebody, we give out a bunch of copies because people say, hey, I can't get my buddy to buy this. And I'm like, cool. Or my husband to buy this, or my boyfriend to buy this. I'm like, cool. go ahead, buy a copy, open it up and say, hey, I listened to this podcast, heard this book, thought this may be interesting to you. Both are also available on Audible. And folks, we have some amazing events this year. Hang with me for just another minute. We have a father-son event. We have Dave's first responder hero's journey event. I have a big Kill the Nice Guy workshop coming up at the end of the year. Shell's got one this summer also. So please go to manuncivilized.com/events and see what we got, because this is the year of handshakes and hugs. I love Zoom, grateful for Zoom, and I want to hug all of you. All right. Have a great rest of your day. Go be uncivilized.